So I'm often asked, well, what kind of revival leader is Christian Leaders Institute trying to raise up? Tell us a little bit more. And I've reflected upon this over the last 10 years, thinking about that question. And the New Testament, there's a term that's utilized. It's called diakonos. It's a Greek word, diakonos. The term deacon comes from that word. This is an interesting Greek word, and it means steward servant, one who executes the commands of another, especially of a master. This steward servant is a servant, an attendant, a minister, an ambassador. This word diakonos appears 29 times in the New Testament. It's translated as deacon, minister, servants, or servant. And the context of the passage tells how it's translated, or how the translators, translated the word servant, diakonos. What I want to do when I think about this word, I want to go back where it first appears in the New Testament. Our Lord Jesus used this word first. And he said, Matthew 20, verse 26, it shall not be so among you. There is a debate on who's great, who's greatest in the kingdom, who's going to be the leaders, who are going to be the leaders of the movement, who are going to be the revival leaders. And Jesus says, it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. The word is diakonos. To be great, you've got to be the deacon. To be great, you have to be the minister. To be great, you have to be the servant, the steward servant, who is not about your own will, but about the will of the one who sent you. You're called into ministry. You're sent into ministry. The heart of a deacon is the heart of a called Christian leader. So, let's examine this understanding of diakonos and apply it to Christian Leaders Institute. What you can look forward to walking into as you study at Christian Leaders Institute. So, first of all, how did Jesus use the word deacon? Well, in John 2, verse 29, Jesus, his mother said to the servants, this is Mary, this is the wedding at Canaan, his mother said to his servants, and the word there is the word diakonoi, diakoness is the root word there. And I love this. Whatever he says to you, do it. Very interesting. Here's another one, John 12, verse 26. If anyone serves, and now it's the verbal form of the word deacon, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there will be my deacon. Interesting. There will be my minister. There will be my servant, as it is translated. But notice, okay, very important here. This is not the other Greek word for servant or slave, which is doulos. This is the word for the ambassador servant. There will be my steward servant. John 12, verse 26 could be translated this way, and I'm just going to use this passage. If anyone serves me as a steward, serves me as a deacon, serves me as a minister. Now notice the passage. If anyone serves me, the verb serve is the verb that comes from that word diakonos, diakono. If anyone serves me as a steward, servant, as a deacon servant, as a minister servant, Jesus says, let him follow me. Wherever I am, there my servant, minister, deacon will also be. If anyone serves me as a steward, serves me as a minister, serves me as a deacon, the Father will honor him, will honor her. Well, I just think now about the book of Acts. So in the book of Acts, the apostles are busy. And the whole issue of serving comes up. Whether it's serving in ministry, the tables of for the widows, or whether it's a whole sort of ministry opportunities, local ministry opportunities. And the apostles are busy. So what did they do? They started the office, the leadership office of the deacon. Now, interesting. They could have called it a lot of things. They could have called it anything from table servers, or they could have called it very, very specific, names. Chaplain for the poor. No, they call it the diaconoi. It's as if in the apostles' minds, they remember Jesus' teaching about those who would be great in the kingdom, those who would exert leadership. What did our Lord say? I can just hear them talking in my imagination and the Holy Spirit prompting them. What did the Lord say would be the leaders that would be the ones that would serve in the church, that would expand the organization of this new church? And maybe one of them said, do you remember that our Lord's conversation? He said, if you're going to be great in the kingdom, you're not going to be like the princes and the kings and the people who want authority and rule things. No, you're going to be the diaconos. Plural, the diaconoi. So this new office became the office of deacon. Now, in the New Testament, I got to tell you, some interesting things occurred. So in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5, who then is Apollos? This is a leadership discussion. And who is Paul? But servants, the word diaconos, there is, it's in the plural, diaconoi, through whom you believed, and each as the Lord gave you. As I have studied the word diaconos, I learned that Paul seems to use this word in talking about himself and his ministry friends. I also found it interesting that when he needed to get a decision about Gentile participation in the gospel, he took it to the presbyteroi, that's it. And those were the elders. So there was the elders, and the elder system seemed to be very much connected to like the Jewish elder at the city gate, the older men in a community who directed the policies, the affairs of the communities. But the doers, the deacon doers, the minister doers, when a decision like this came, and sometimes when you're doing ministry, it's very difficult to come up with a final policy decision. Go to the elders to get help. But the ministers themselves, they knew they didn't have all the answers. They were in partnership with other leaders of the local church. And in this case, we see Paul is very keen to take matters like about the Gentiles, we read in the book of Acts, to the elders for the final decision. Acts 12:21, verse 18, the next day Paul and the rest of us went to see James and all the elders who were present. Now I'm going to take this even further. The elders of the early church seemed guided by the policy. The deacons, minister servants, diakonos, were the doers of ministry. So the elders, in a sense, made policy, directed the affairs of the local church, and the ministers, the deacons, were out there executing and serving. I personally believe Paul was made a deacon first. Later in his ministry, he was probably likely considered an elder. In many cases, maybe an elder is an old deacon or an older deacon, an existing older Christian leader that was appointed to assist in local churches. The doers in ministry were the deacons. Now, some of you may say, do you know that all for sure? And you know what? I don't know that all for sure, but here's what I want to submit to you. As you begin ministry, become a servant. You're here at Christian Leaders Institute. Become a servant. Start at the deacon level. Now, what if you are already ordained an elder in your local church and you're here at Christian Leaders Institute getting formal ministry training? I'd say, wonderful. But we want you to see the operating system here. The operating system is that of a servant leader. So wherever your status is in terms of ordination, understand that we're going to come in this whole curriculum as coming from how do we raise up revival leaders who have the heart of a steward servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what else I believe? I believe like when I was young, first in the ministry, and this is just me talking, I actually kind of wished, as I look back, that when I finished my ministry training, I would have been just considered a deacon clergy member, a deacon leader. And that those who are older and more mature were the elder, or those who developed policy were the elder leaders. In fact, I would say in my first church plant, as I look back, I had just a wonderful team of elders. They were older men who guided me. I think of Marty Ozinga. He was a guy who was, he had a wonderful wife named Ruth. Together, they grasped policy. I was in my 20s. They ordained me as a minister of the word. But there's so many things that I needed help on. And because I was a minister of the word, I thought I had to be something that really I wasn't in my 20s. If already I would have had my thinking, you know what? Yes, I'm called into ministry. Yes, I'm ordained for ministry. But the essence of my ministry is minister, servant, deacon. I believe that would have helped me. And it would have started me on a road as I progressed in my walk with God, potentially for myself personally, as an elder. You know, as I am now in my 50s and look back and I see, you know, maybe more as sort of an elder would see, I realize that when I was younger, I really needed that understanding of you start out as a deacon leader. And we see that really in Scripture. I mean, that's what's so exciting about this. We see in Ephesians 3, 6-7, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of His promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, whereof I was made a diakonos. I was made a servant. I was made a steward servant. I was made a deacon. This is the Apostle Paul talking about when he started in his ministry, his calling, he was made a servant leader, a deacon, according to the gift of that grace of God which is given me according to the working of His power. To me, the very least of all saints, was the grace given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Again, look at it. To me, I can just imagine this. He was made a deacon, the Apostle Paul. And you right away see his servant language. For what? To be a minister of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know who you are, male or female, but we see in the New Testament that the order, the leadership order of the servant leader, of the minister, of diakonos, includes men and women. For instance, in Romans chapter 16, verse 1, I commend, the word commend, I recommend is another word for commend. I endorse is another word. You know, to me, the endorse, commend, recommend is the essence of ordination. Not you said it, someone else said it. Somebody else sees in you your calling, your walk with God, your gifts for ministry. It's not you. Someone else sees that. Ordination is not steeped in some hierarchy that's so difficult that very few can get it. Ordination is also not some online place where you can just sign and give your money and someone just gives you a certificate of ordination. Ordination is about training, and that's why many of you are here, training, discipleship. But it's also that someone else says that you represent the walk, the gifts, the calling, the life, the leadership to be a leader in the church. So the Apostle Paul says, I commend to you, so he's recommending to the Romans, and by the way, Phoebe is carrying the letter to the Romans. So she can answer questions for the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul is not specifically there. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon. That's how the TNIV translates it. The NIV says a servant. But it could be translated, it's the word deacon, diakonos, could be translated, I commend to you Phoebe, a steward servant, a minister, a deacon of the church in Centuria. Now notice it's not a deacon of the Apostle Paul, it's not the envoy of the Apostle Paul. No, this, she is an envoy of the Apostle Paul, but she's commended as a deacon, servant, leader, minister in the church of Centuria. So, to me, and how, as I have researched this, as we think about it at Christian Leaders Institute, women are included as deacon leaders. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, then, if there's nothing against them, let them serve as diakonoi, deacons. Now, it's interesting, in verse 11, the next verse. And this is a controversial verse. John Chrysostom in the early church translated it this way. In the same way, the women, that is, women who are in the order of deacon, women ministers, women steward servants, which is often translated as in the same way wives, are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Now, why is the strong case in the early church? Why did they interpret that as in the same way women and not wives, as many translations do it today? Well, because when they're talking about elders a little earlier, the apostle's talking about elders, and he doesn't mention their wives at all. So why would now all of a sudden talk about deacons and then talk about their wives? That, could that mean that an elder's wife could be a malicious talker? An elder's wife could be someone that needs special mention? Well, if there's a parallel, he would also talk about the elders' wives and maybe say the same thing. Or he would say this, and the elders' and deacons' wives should be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Instead, it's pointing specifically to women here. and women who are in the order of the servant leaders, the leaders of the church. Let them also have not only the these qualifications of not indulging in much wine, sincere, respect, so forth in Timothy 1 Timothy 3:8 through 10, but also a couple of other things. Worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Now people say, wow, is there something a little different for women than men? And maybe the Apostle Paul perceives each gender in a certain way. And he says, and let the women who are very relational, that talking, they say that a woman's brain has more talking neurons than a man's brain. Let that not get in the way of ministry. Well, somebody will say, okay, was that how it was in the early church? Well, I want to refer to a study. I'm going to quote from a book called Ordained Women in the Early Church, just to sort of make the point how prevalent this became in the early church. Almost immediately after the New Testament era, the writing of the New Testament era had ended. This is from 110. So Pliny the Younger, an epistle to Trajan, around 110 CE or 110 AD, a number of Christians in Bithynia and Pontus, which is an imperial province south of the Black Sea, were executed simply as Christians by imperial legate. Plinius Secundus, after the execution, Pliny proceeded to outlaw by edict all sodalities, that is, all these like religious gatherings, maybe you can call them cults of Christian. Although the publication of the edict apparently curtailed some Christian activity, the common meal especially, the crime, as Pliny put it, kept spreading. And there's a beautiful letter, and you can read it, look it up on the internet, and they talk about how Christianity keeps spreading and spreading and spreading, and Pliny is writing the Emperor Trajan, who persecutes Christian, as what to do. Soon, Pliny received an anonymous accusation containing the names of many Christians. In response, Pliny required the new defendants to pray to the gods and to make an offering of incense and wine to the image of the emperor, Trajan. This was, and he served the Roman Empire from 98 to 117. He also required them to anathemize, that is, to deny Jesus Christ. However, Pliny wished to find out more about the cult practices of the forbidden sodality, that religion. In his celebrated letter to Trajan, Pliny provides the following account of how he did so, and this is very instructive. I quote Pliny now, "I believe it was necessary to find out from two female slaves who were called deacons what was true and to find out by torture." Now, okay, so as I think about this, just think of how in a male-dominated patriarch society where slaves meant nothing and women were very lowly considered, he's making a point to Trajan, look, Christianity, their slaves are leaders, Trajan, and more than that, two of these leaders, who are called in the Latin ministers, because the translation from deacon to Latin is diaconus becomes minister in Latin, that these slaves are not only slaves, but they're women. This is the earliest Latin text that appears to refer to female deacons as a distinct category of Christian minister. For that reason alone, it is of great interest. And this, by the way, is done by Kevin Madigan and Carolyn Oseek in a book called Ordained Women in the Early Church. Carolyn is a Catholic nun, and Kevin is a scholar from I believe, Princeton Seminary. And it was a book published by the John Hopkins University Press that dealt with every single instance of female deacons in the early church. And this would be tomb inscriptions, which there are a lot of them, like here lies Sophie in the Ordos of Phoebe, a deacon. And you can look at this book if you want some time, but it was the Catholic Church ordained women ministers, that is, women deacons, until just after the 500s. In the early church reports, some of the councils, they were talking about specific regulations for women ministers, women deacons. Now, my whole point in saying this is that the order of ministers or women as ministers is prevalent in the early church until about 500. So, having said all these things about servant, leader, and deacon, both men and women, let's talk about the implications for Christian Leaders Institute. And I'm just going to wrap up all this discussion with just some implications. First of all, revival leaders who are servant stewards of Christ. So, whether elder or deacon, whether you come to us already as an elder or already as a deacon, or you don't know where your order of endorsement is, we at Christian Leaders Institute are seeking to raise up revival leaders who have the heart of servants. So that's the first implication of this study as we apply this to Christian Leaders Institute. Secondly, we will focus on local leaders who may not get to go to formal seminary or Bible school. The online makes formal training convenient. And this means, like, you know, if you have a job, you're in your own enterprise, you're working for a company, you have your own business, you're a housewife, you don't have any money, you need a flexible schedule, but you sense the calling into ministry, the online allows you to do this. We're going to ask you to find a mentor. You're going to hear about this more in the Getting Started class. We're going to ask you to get indigenously connected to the local church, but we know that you may be called into ministry, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, and we want to help you take your next step. We understand this is a bivocational thing. We understand that this is going to be training about ministry, and as this training unpacks, we are more and more talking about enterprise, so that you do well to sustain yourself in ministry. Now, somebody may say, well, I want a ministry job. Well, praise the Lord if the Lord calls you to a place where you're training, and it will be the same excellent training you're going to get at a Bible school. If the Lord opens the door for a vocational place, praise the Lord. But as servant leaders, we are raising up those and training them well, whether or not they may ever get paid for their ministry. But the quality is of such that you might get paid for ministry. Okay, the Apostle Paul said he had rights to be paid, but he was a tent maker. So that's what bivocational means, and we want to make sure that every leader, every servant leader, gets amazing, excellent, high-quality ministry training. Number three, this formal training, the implications for CLI, this formal training that takes you as far as you need the training. So at Christian Leaders Institute, we have certificates. The certificates include everything from Bible training, basic Bible knowledge, church and ministry, basic stuff that a minister, that a deacon leader, that a servant leader needs to learn. It goes deeper into diploma levels that open up into even a degree program. Right now we offer a divinity degree, because that's one side of the Apostle Paul. He's a tent maker. But as time goes on, we want to offer someday a enterprise degree so that our leaders not only can thrive in ministry, but they can thrive in enterprise. You know, in some places in the world, we want to get to this place where not only do we give a fish, that's important, or we give a fishing pole, that's important. No. We want to give the understanding and the means to create a fishing pole commerce and let the spiritual leaders, the called Christian leaders, provide the culture of ministry, of enterprise. And what this does then is it takes away some of that prosperity gospel need where a minister must somehow get paid. And sometimes in some countries, the ministers live really high. The reverends live really high. They have a jet even on the backs of people who are giving their widows mites. We want to see it instead that the ministers lead in the refreshing revival of a community, both in ministry and potentially in enterprise. And we will teach our deacon leaders both. So, what's another implication? Another implication are women are included to be ministers. Now, I want to be very careful to be clear about what I mean here. The case is strong that elders or bishops must be godly called men. Now, this is a big debate. And we acknowledge that. So at Christian Leaders Institute, when we ordain, and we do have an ordination path, we ordain men and women as in the deacon ranks, the deacon order. Now, you may disagree that women cannot be elders, or you may agree with us. And how we look at this is that we work with the local church. And we're going to be true to our voice. And your local church can be true to your voice. And if anybody that is ordained as a deacon leader would be changed in status to an elder leader, that is the business of the local church. Our goal is to bring you the best possible ministry training that you can thrive as a servant leader. And we know this. A servant leader is the engine that drives Christian leadership and church leadership. Acts 2 verse 17, in the last days God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And then it goes on one more verse. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in the last days. So I believe that's where we're at. We're at this powerful time of life where together men or and women as ministers are serving the Lord together. And we are about raising up that deacon rank, that deacon leader, that diakonoi, that diakonos. Number five, the training must be generosity driven and high quality. Why? Well, because in this thinking, we're not a seminary where you go 8 years to college, 8 years of seminary, then you go through and you're going to be ordained as a minister of the word, serving at possibly in a professional place. Now, all these things are possible for you because the quality of training is going to be as great for you. However, we want you to know that we believe the audience of Christian Leaders Institute are ordinary people like Peter and John and people who are called into ministry, and they're just called. They're called to significance. They're not in it because they even want to be paid. If pay comes to them, now for instance, I am in the gospel and I'm in a Christian ministry and my salary comes out of that Christian ministry. So it's wonderful. I think that's all wonderful. Praise the Lord if that's where the Lord leads you. But so many are just going to be local, indigenous leaders. You might be a leader who is a housewife who's called into ministry and you just want top-notch training. You might be a factory worker. You might be an executive in a business and you have evenings free to be able to study. And you could pay for it, but you love the high quality and you love the flexibility. And we want to keep it free. We don't want anyone left behind. If you're called into ministry and you have the internet, it's all you need. Well, how do we keep it that way? Well, I believe that you, as well as people outside of Christian Leaders Institute, foundations, donors, that you will join us as vision partners. I believe that's what you want. You want to give it forward. So what you've received, if you have the means and the inclination to become a vision partner, we're all in this together to keep this free and available to the world. Here's another implication. Ordination programs specifically for deacon leaders, ministers in the order of a deacon, leaders who can be ordained. Now, we have a process here, and the process basically, first of all, is local ordinations in specific roles, like officiant, women in ministry, very specific. What you do is you get the training at Christian Leaders Institute, and we have 150 hours of training. So you get this training, and the training is specific to the ordination role that you're called to be involved with. Then we ask you for 3 endorsements. So let's say you are called to be a church starter, a house church starter. Well, you take the training that we recommend, which is the first certificate and the house church class, and then there's an ordination class. You must come up with 3 local recommendations. That's to be commended, like Phoebe was commended. Then after those, all that paperwork is done and that, then we will send you out an ordination certificate. We will sign that you did the academic, theological, the formal training. Then your local endorsers, one of them will sign that yes, you are commended, that you have the calling and the walk for a ministry. So it's not an ordination that on the one hand is so hard to get that very few can get it, but on the other hand, it's not some phony thing that you just sign for, pay $250 and get it in the mail. No, it's a combination of calling, of formal training, of endorsements. It's a whole process. And then you get on our international directory as one who is ordained into ministry. Now, if you're already ordained, maybe you don't need that. But for those of you who say, hey, I want to minister, and you know that the endorsements, somebody beside yourself saying that you are called into ministry is very important, and you understand that. So, we're into revival leaders at Christian Leaders Institute, and we're into leadership. So this Christian Leaders Institute is about raising up servant leaders called into ministry, giving formal, high-quality training so that you can do well and thrive in your calling. Men and women called by God, walking with God, getting everything you need so that you take your next step in ministry. I am so excited about what God is doing at Christian Leaders Institute, but even more excited about what God is doing in your life.